Hey friends, this is Tim McKenna and you're listening to another episode of Signal 337. Recently, a red letter day happened in my life, and that was the fact that my wife and I both found a new TV show that we agreed upon to watch. This is actually a big deal in our household because my wife and I have wildly divergent tastes in entertainment. There are some things that we absolutely agree and love, but when it comes to television, I will watch the same three shows over and over again. I'll probably watch the Lord of the Rings movies once a month, and my wife likes Below Deck and Big Brother and Housewives of whatever city. So yeah, for us to find a television show that we both are really into is very few and far between. We like Law and Order, we like Chopped, and that's about it. So us finding this new TV show on Netflix, neat. So it's one of those short-lived series, and it's called This Is Pop. It is a little short documentary series that goes over the real stories behind your favorite pop songs and artists that created them. And I'm not the biggest pop fan. I'm a big fan of music. Pop was never one of those genres that I totally related to. Now, my definition of pop is very particular. You can make the argument that everything I like is pop in a lot of ways. But the particular view of pop in this regard is they're talking about Jay-Z, they're talking about Boys to Men, 98 Degrees, Britney Spears. Like there's a whole theme here, and pop music that was super popular, mainstream, successful kind of stuff. Like that's what they're going for with this. And they do an exposé on a different type of movement or a thing that was happening in music. They'll do an expose on a certain group. In fact, the one that I really loved was the expose on Boys to Men and how they were doing something very different, a harken back to Motown in a time that music was diverging in a lot of ways, with R&B mixing more with hip-hop, and how Boys to Men really didn't do that, and how they influenced a whole genre of white ripoffs, pretty much, with NSYNC and Backstreet Boys and 98 Degrees. So it was very interesting. If you like history, if you like that kind of stuff, like this is a really cool show. And one in particular that I really enjoyed was the Stockholm Syndrome. And I was like, cool, this sounds edgy. I want to watch this. And basically, it was talking about how Sweden, of all places, became the place to go for cranking out pop hits. And they went all into the background of Sweden's culture and how ABBA really changed the scene back during the Eurovision days, and how different producers were starting to create just intricate, awesome sounds. Like they were the workhorses of producing some amazing work. I didn't know that the other half of Childish Gambino, he's from Sweden and he's done some amazing work on Black Panther and other movies and scored some great stuff and just very interesting. And they did a little bit of this whole expose. They were talking about this one in particular producer, Dennis Pop. That was his moniker. And it was super interesting to hear about this producer who just really loved doing this work. As I understand it from the show, he smoked like a chimney, and he was very exacting. Not a dick, but like he was very exacting, and he worked with the likes of NSYNC, Backstreet Boys, 90 Degrees, Britney Spears. In fact, they did a whole thing about how the song Hit Me Baby One More Time was an amalgamation of like how Swedish folks think, oh, hit me up on the phone one more time, but because of bad translation or whatever, they're like, oh, let's just truncate it into this thing. And I never knew that. It was super interesting about how that song that sounds semi-abusive in that regard, where it came from. And this whole focus on Dennis Pop was super interesting to me. But there was a thread about Dennis's life and the influence that he had, that was the same thread, the same similar undercurrent with everyone that they spoke to, from his proteges that went on and did other producing work for other, you know, pop artists, and some of the artists that he worked with that then went behind the production booth and started doing other work. The thread was the work. The idea that your work is a gift. Now Dennis Pop, as I understand from the show, was not a Tony Robbins-esque, let's go out and influence everybody, but he was super influential in his approach of ensuring that it sounded right. He put the work in. He put the time in. And in the studio that he worked out of in Sweden, just became, in a way, like how the factory was in Pittsburgh with Warhol. Or it became its own little cultural mecca in a lot of respects. And you think of CBGB's in New York with all the different bands and artists that have come through there. You think of the similar effect with Dennis Pop's studio. And you think of the club scene, the rave scene in England after the whole post-punk thing was a thing. That was a similar feel. And there was a similar kind of concept, but instead of like the parties and the drugs, which I'm sure probably existed in some way, shape, or form, it was the focus on producing just amazing work and putting the time in. And they were showing photos of NSYNC and Backstreet Boys and different artists. And there in the background, there's Dennis Pop working at the booth, and he's doing mixes and whatnot. What does any of this have to do with my podcast? It's all about putting in the work. And sometimes that really does get lost when we're so focused on these so many other things out there with our work. Now, as a designer and as a design leader, design manager, cat herder, whatever, there's a lot that's on my plate on a day-to-day basis. There's a lot that I need to make sure that I'm doing just to maintain, but there's also a lot that I need to be doing so I can continue to grow and establish roots and be able to build up my confidence and acumen and knowledge so that I can be effective in my career. And you can't do that just by faking it all the time. You have to put in the work. And one of the things that I really got out of this show was that if you want to have any sort of modicum of success, if you want to have any sort of modicum of recognition, being the loud asshole, blithering idiots, whatever, being the most visibly seen and heard person does not equate success, knowledge, and capability. But putting in the hard work and letting the work speak for itself is a mentality that apparently the Swedes are very much known for. All the other interviews that I heard from the other producers and the other artists all have this type of mentality. I forget the actual cultural word for this, the cultural term for this, about letting the work speak for itself, not being the loud, you know, look at me personality in the room. So it was really interesting to hear this actual like approach to things and getting back to being really good at your craft, being really good and really pushing yourself and not having to make it all about yourself, making your whole journey of everything about yourself, but letting the work show through. This episode was interesting because as I am not a fan of most of the artists that they worked with, I could appreciate the hard work, and you could hear it too. And when you heard Brian Luttrell from Backstreet Boys talking about how Dennis Pop was methodical and how he'd think over things and he'd try different things and let's go back in for another take, take 8, take 9, take 10, take 27, there was this, I wouldn't say grueling perfection, but there was this mentality, we're going to get it right, we're going to figure it out, we're going to craft the best song that we can. And that mentality really thought about how to make the work great and how do we create the best product that we're doing. And it's using all of our capabilities, all of our knowledge to be able to create something great. And then when that work is released, letting it stand on its own merits. So again, I am not a fan of Backstreet Boys. I am not a fan of Britney Spears. However, songs are fucking catchy. Songs are, like, memorable. And I think of those beats, and I think of those hooks. They do stand the test of time. Like, they have an intrinsic quality that you can't just kick out just randomly. You can't half-ass it. Like, these were well thought of. And in the 90s and 2000s, there was this backlash against that overly produced, overly packaged, overly precise approach to producing and music. And you saw that with garage, the resurgence of New York garage music and alternatives there. It's a different mentality, and music, as in a lot of things, is very cyclical in that regard. But you can't deny the work that was put into those songs, into those albums. Whether it was pop, or whether it was any other genre that these producers and that Dennis worked with. So as you can probably start to hear and understand, that there's this focus on the work, focus on doing the best job, and having that understanding, that confidence of when to question, when to try it again, when to be very critical of the work you're doing, and also when to know when to release it, when to put it out. And I wish I could give you a complete formula how to do all those things, but I think it really does come down to the ultimate message is putting in the work, doing the work. You will build up your acumen, your confidence, as you begin to really bank all of that knowledge and what works, what doesn't work. And it doesn't mean to be formulaic in every single approach, and you can't try different things out and have experimentation. And if you start to equate this to some of the work that you're doing, whether you're a designer, whether you are a writer, whether you're a product manager, there's different ways to go about doing everything, but you have to build upon the knowledge of putting in that work so that you can be confident in the craft that you're doing. This is why I feel like it's super important for anyone coming up in their career, and no matter what level, is to continuously build your knowledge and your capabilities. That doesn't mean having to go back to basics on every single thing, going through coursework all the time, getting back into the practice, getting back into the craft of the work that you do. It's real easy for me as a designer to do that. I manage a great deal of folks, and I think about my interactions with my team members, and I think about how I can improve my communication. So I talk a lot. Partially, this podcast is a way for me to practice my verbalization, like practice my communication, getting to the truth of the matter, getting to the crux of everything, the meat and potatoes, so to speak. This podcast helps me in that way. But also, as a designer, I have the tools that will allow me to do the work. And outside of my day-to-day job, there's design work that I do. Whether it is for a client, which I really don't do any freelance anymore, but I think about my own projects. I mean, I recently released a website for a jobs board. I released that purely for Pennsylvania. So I got back into a little bit of development. I got back into a little bit of design work, like hands-on work. And actually asking myself, does this achieve the goals that I've set forward? Is this actually going to help someone do X, Y, and Z? Does this help me create a better solution? Like these different things, all these things, all this like self-critique and all these asking my questions gone into the thought process so I can build something that I feel is worthy. And I've done a little bit of promotion for it, sure. Mostly let it stand on its work. And I've done other things that have helped me continue to understand what it takes to do the work and how I can understand and have empathy for others that are doing the work, because I'm going to understand what it takes. So when I ask them to create a project plan or tell me how long something's going to take, I can generally understand when they give me something back, because I'm going to take this amount of time or we're going to need these resources. I'm like, yep, that makes sense. So that way I can also help coach and shepherd my folks as they're continuing on in their path and giving them more opportunities to build upon their skills and build their craft knowledge. This is why it's super important, putting in the work. I think about my career and I think about the work that I've done over time. And I've moved around a lot in my career. Some might say a little too much, but I have this career now in design that has helped me get to a place where I can think about next directions or how I'm going to do something and have a body of knowledge, a well of confidence that I can draw from so that I can say, hey, this is moving in the right direction. This work is going to do X. This is going to help me grow. But more importantly, the work is going to get out there. People are going to see it and find value in it. As I was watching this episode and thinking about this mentality that Sweden has with pop music and music in general, and just this general approach to doing the best work that you can and letting it speak for itself and letting it live on its own merits is something that I find very comforting, because as we are all going through our careers and we run into imposter syndrome and we have crossroads that we approach that make you question what your direction should be, do you have the background, the knowledge, the experience to be able to maybe make a new change or go down a different path? I can look back on my career and feel confident that I can make certain decisions because I have that body of knowledge. I know how to do my work. And this is something that you might be thinking about in your career and thinking about the work that you do, letting the work speak for itself. Now, I will say that there is some bit of promotion you have to do. You can't just put work out there and never talk about it. Let it just be there, and people are going to find it on its own merits. And that's not even how the pop music stuff worked. But their recognition of being the producer was recognized because these were pop hits that were promoted heavily through these artists. So you do have to do a little bit of promotion so that you can get your stuff out there. Do you have to be the loudest voice? You have to be the loudest cheerleader for your work? At times, yes. But creating connections, making networks, sharing your work, and letting it get out there, releasing something, and having other people look at it, and then they can see the context, they can see the mirror, they can see where this is going, they can talk about it. The best type of cheerleader is the one that does it for you. Somebody else extolling your merits. Get to that kind of a point, and be able to look back on the work that you've done and feel confident and feel comforted that your work is something that is recognized and has value. And the way that you do that is putting in the time, putting in the work. Be like Dennis Pop and put in all that time to do the right work, to build your knowledge, to build your craft. And then when people get to see and recognize your work, that's where you're able to say, I have made a mark in my career. So, with all of that, I highly encourage everyone actually to check out the show, This Is Pop. Totally not supported or sponsored by Netflix. But if you have Netflix, I have been finding this whole docuseries to be very interesting. And if you have the slightest interest in music, you will be very impressed at the production quality and the value that this show has been put into everything. The Boys to Men episode was amazing. Learning about the drama in the country field when Lil Nas X came out with Old Town Road. Catchy as shit. And then the Stockholm Syndrome one is really interesting to learn about not only a Swedish cultural mentality, but also this idea of how all these hits were made with such a methodical and deliberate and discerning thought process to them. I don't know. Check it out. It's a great show. I think it's pretty cool. And it will be something that my wife and I will continue to watch until the show is over. And then we go back to fighting about TV. But with all of that, I want to say thank you so very much. This is a little bit different episode, but I appreciate everyone who listens to this podcast. Check us out, signal337.com or also signal337.castos.com. We are at both places. You can subscribe to the show. You can also get us on all of your major podcast platforms. And you can also hit us up on Twitter at Signal337. And you can follow us on LinkedIn, Signal337 as well. And with all of that, again, this is all of my thoughts, observations, and discussion from my point of view in my little corner of South Central Pennsylvania. It is not indicative of any past or present company that I've worked with. And with all of that, I just want to say thank you so very much and have a good day.